Alright, I got a hastily cobbled together script.
The best kind.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know if there's nothing else. We can open the channel. It's already 9.
Please do open the channel.
Okay. Twomp, before I could say anything.
Nice.
Oh my goodness. Everyone's ready.
I think Twomp beat my brother up by about 2 seconds.
Yes, I think your brother got upset that I didn't listen to the podcast when it dropped immediately last week.
I remember seeing something about that. Oh, right, you commented on Facebook, and he's like, you didn't listen to the podcast.
I didn't get a chance because when it came up, it was one of those deals where... So I subscribe to it through... Who is the hosting site for it again?
The hosting site is Podomatic.
Okay, so I've subscribed to it through Podomatic. So whenever the episode goes up, I get an email, right?
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's up on the RSS feed.
Yes.
So sometimes that takes a little while to generate. So I get the email and I'm like, all right, open up the RSS feed and just start hitting F5. Because I don't have podcatchers at work, right? It usually comes up when I'm at work.
Right.
So while I'm waiting for that, this other podcast that I listen to called You're Wrong About Blank. And they'll take something from pop culture or history or whatever it is. And they'll like, this is what everyone knows about it. But let's really go back and look at the facts that led us up to this. And it was the first part of a 2-part thing about O.J. Simpson. It was everything leading up to the murders. So it was super enthralling, right? So then I'm like, well, it's still not in the RSS feed yet. And I'm like, ah! So I finished it. A lot of times, like, I'll give myself like a 10-minute window. Like if I'm 10 minutes into a podcast and something else comes up, I'll be like, all right, I could stop it and pull up something else. But it was like 20 minutes. It was taking forever for the RSS feed to load the thing, right? So I'm like, it's coming. While I'm listening to it, I'm getting gifts in the game and they're all coming up as W's. And that's the first time I noticed it. And yeah, and I'm not a Discord guy because typically I'm recording when you guys are recording here. And I'm allergic to Discord, but I'm doing good.
Yeah, so far so good. Yeah, it was funny though because we had talked about it. I brought it up out of nowhere because I completely forgot to like put it in the script or anything. So I brought it up because I got another gift and it was all W's and I'm like, what is going on? Who's this W guy?
Right, and at first because I'm this isn't part of the official show, but I'm kind of like a Facebook friend, Marvel Puzzle Quest, you send me a request on Facebook. I see you're like friends with at least like a third of the other people that I'm friends with through Marvel Puzzle Quest. I'm like, yeah, I'll accept you. That's fine. That's great. So I'm like, okay, maybe this person's name of the game is just all W's filling out the bar, right? And then I got one where it was like 3 in a row where it was all 3 W's. So I'm like, let's see what's going on here. And I touched the little thing on it. And it came up as, like, the person's actual name and their alliance and their roster and everything else like that. I'm like, oh, this is an interesting bug. And it's been a week and, you know, it's still here.
Your immediate thought was, man, this W guy plays a lot.
Well, when I got the one, I'm like, this W guy plays a lot. But when I got 3 in a row, and I'm like, let me see what's doing here. Let me see what W's roster looks like that he's playing so much. But sadly, it was not W.
Yeah.
And not to get too political, maybe it was him and Ellen playing at the Dallas Cowboys game on their phones.
Nice.
And that's his in-game name. I know there's celebrities that play Marvel Puzzle Quest. Imagine, like, I would say that he would probably be the most unlikely celebrity to play Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Pretty unlikely, you think so? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have any reason to think he wouldn't play this game.
I think George W. would probably play something a little less intensive. Like maybe Candy Crush, but not like newer versions of Candy Crush. He still has like somehow because he's a former president, he's allowed to play like original Candy Crush. Or if there's like some sort of more basic. I know like there's so many different Marvel like match 3 games. Like maybe he plays like Disney Tsum Tsum match 3 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Blake Anderson is the guy from Workaholics that plays. He definitely plays MPQ.
Right. And wasn't there some guy who's on, like, Friday Night Lights or something?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Yeah. The TV show, this was from a while ago. I can't remember the gentleman's name. But I know they even wrote a little article on him. It was up on, like, the D3 site or something, like, on their blog thing.
Oh, that does sound familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're good.
Cool. Let me position myself in a less squeaky way. Try to get this show started. Greetings, true believers, and welcome to the 213th installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3, the world's okayest listener interactive podcast, currently heard in at least four countries that I can confirm. But I hear there's more. Tonight, it's just Ian and Ray, founders of the Puzzle Warriors Alliance, founders of this podcast, and joining us this week, extra special fan favorite guest and co-host, Joe's back. Welcome back, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me. I don't know, fan favorite. I've been testing that out lately. I recently had some posts downvoted on the Reddit, so I don't know.
Former fan favorite?
Tenuous fan favorite. I'm a tweener now, you know?
All right. So, I believe this is the week covering the 9th through the 16th of October. Unless my math is faulty and it's the 17th, but...
Like that sounds right to me.
This was hastily cobbled together. So if you thought Craig wrote a lazy script, get ready for this. This week in the Deadpool dailies, Wednesday is Gambit, Thursday is Angel, Friday is Black Panther, Saturday is Magneto, Sunday is Storm, Monday is Luke Cage, and I only get my information from the forums, so I didn't reach out to find out what Tuesday and Wednesday of next week were. There'll be a surprise. Yeah. But we do have... some 5-day 4-star crash of the Titans. As we speak, the Taskmaster is still doing battle with 5-star Captain Rogers? Maybe 3-star Captain Rogers.
3-star.
There's a Steve Rogers that he's fighting. How'd that go? Yeah. I assume, Ray, if I'll let you know, I won it with... And he was at 300, so I feel confident that you guys breezed through that.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. I wasn't sure you were... Actually, I was pretty sure you weren't going to pull that off.
I did. Are you sitting down?
In fact, I am.
All right. I played all the way through the simulator just so I could get an extra Taskmaster cover. So that took him from 200 to 300, which put me up to moving target, which gave me just enough... pepper to punch my way. All I had to do was deny red, and eventually I was able to hit on the moving target, and I was the winner.
I just have two questions for you.
Yes.
Who are you, and what have you done with Ian?
It's only half the normal simulator, so I'm always excited to play during... It's normally 2,000, right?
Oh, yeah.
That is true. I'm never going to get to 2,000. 1,000, boom, got me a Taskmaster. Nice. And after I had already won, I got me another Taskmaster out of my the 10-pack of anniversary tokens they gave you, because that's how much PvP I've been playing.
I was going to say, they don't give you that. You play Ian.
Yeah, it's an anniversary. I went crazy. I've played all the classes of, you know, 16, 17, going to hop into 18. I played a little more, played that simulator. It's been a really heavy MPQ week for me. I have that class of best in class, which has been a delight. But anyway, I won that crash. It was nice.
Very nice. Yeah, and, I got enough covers to get Taskmaster champed. So yeah, it was, I got Moon Silver Blades and game over.
Nice.
So that was pretty easy.
That seems to be the most popular of his choices.
I like Moon Knight too much to not include that. So I'm assuming Joe had something similar.
I'm the oddball.
Yes.
You're talking, so, I have, I have Taskmaster champs. I had him champed from last time. We just got more covers. But, for his, for his black, I've chosen, the Quack Fu 1-2. Yeah. Okay. Because I think that's a fun power.
Sure. Sure. That's Howard's green?
No, that's Howard, it's Howard's green, but it's Taskmaster's black. Yes. Right. And then I have, bunch of fiddle faddle and do as Peggy says.
Sure. I don't know how you could pass up do as Peggy says. That is a really excellent power.
Yeah. That's really good.
You know, it's not as good heads up, but I mean, boy, normally, yeah. So that was a win for all of us. And then Howard the Duck, right around the corner, will be our next Crash of the Titans. And I feel like he is a character that I have championed, so I'm feeling optimistic. I feel like probably the same situation for both of you. He is facing Punisher to the max, which is tough.
Oh, extreme Punisher.
But I don't see any difficulty in this.
No, yeah. Howard's almost like a semi-regular character because they do Webbed Wonder once every 2 months,
yeah,
give or take, and then you get the Howard cover at the very least for beating that one node against Dr. Octopus.
Yep.
So he's like, I don't know, he's not as limited as the other limited characters.
No, I mean, not even, he's slightly newer, but yeah, absolutely. Devil, somehow for being limited characters, Howard the Duck and Devil Dino are two of my highest level characters. And then it says here on my handy dandy infographic, after Howard, it's going to be Elektra, which I don't know that I have her championed, but I have her at high enough level that I feel confident she'll be able to overtake 3-Star Blade.
Well, yeah, it says you don't have her champion, but you've got her at a 355. You could, in fact, champion her.
I could. I've been playing because of the double ISO, but there's still not that much ISO lying around. I think I just championed another 4-Star because I had discovered that they were also at max covers, and it was someone superior.
Right, right.
I think it might have been Carnage. I can't recall.
And like Samurai said, you could, but why would you?
I will eventually. Hopefully I'll continue to accrue more ISO as the evening grinds on.
I was going to say, how are you doing on the ISO?
I'll let you know when we open up tokens.
All right.
I'm probably somewhere in the 600,000 range.
So I try to keep track of these things of when, you know, people and so forth and whatever cycle in. There's a chance that Domino and America Chavez could be cycling at the tail end of the Crash of the Champions thing here, and then by December it should reset itself back to the top of the list.
Oh, okay.
Yes, this is one of the many things I keep track of. So yeah, it looks like it should be like mid-November. That's if Domino gets in. America Chavez absolutely should go in. Domino, I don't know for sure, because they have to be as like progression rewards 2 times, but sometimes that's not exactly correct. But, you know, if the schedule says, that's what the schedule says.
Okay, that's optimistic. Domino, I'm not going to win that one. America, more likely. Let's see what we have in the story events. Currently, Deadpool is fighting Marvel Puzzle Quest. You can get 3 Daredevils out of placement. You can also get a 4-Star Juggernaut. The top finishers get the 4-Star Human Torch, and other folks get Mystique. Best in Class is continuing. Is that done? I don't remember if I've been focused on PvP, so I don't know if I remember to finish that. I remember I got a Carol, a 4-Star Captain Marvel, if you will.
I have one more fight, so...
Okay. Yeah, today's the last hours. Fight. Yeah, that right. Gets you a Devil Dinosaur.
Well, enjoy. That's a good one a day. And the PvP that I've been hyping up unnecessarily, but the anniversary... where you get a Taskmaster for 50% of the effort. That's for me. Class of 2017, you can earn yourself a Doctor Strange or a Medusa. And then top finishers there get Miles. Other folks get Angel. And then 2018, you can earn yourself an Angel and a Miles. And the top finishers get the shiny new Spider-Man 2099. Everybody else gets a Blade.
So I was thinking about it. It's not too unusual that Devil Dino, Howard are your higher characters because you play for the anniversary events and that's where they show up.
That's true. I do because again I feel the pressure of the limited label, so I try harder.
Makes sense.
Plus,
if anyone's listening out there, just change all the seasons to 2-week events or 15-day events, whatever it is, and that will trick Ian into playing more.
Right. And plus that anniversary vault just has so many good prizes and higher level ISO. The double ISO motivates me to play more. I don't know. I've been feeling it this week. That's all I'm saying. I don't know how long it'll last, but I don't want to torpedo myself. unnecessarily. We've got very limited news. I seem to have misplaced the only news that I had. Oh, nope, here it is. There's some news. Apparently, Lost in Time is coming up. It is a story event that I didn't have listed in the story event section. Let's see what's going on with it. Oh, just, it's a 4-day event, and there's, what do I get from it? Oh, 4-star Human Torch, and some Mystiques. And the placement kids get 2099 or gray suits. Okay.
So I know you're going off of, but I'm the Lost in Time event. Are the dates wrong on the forum? Because it says that it starts on the 10th and ends on the 10th. That seems wrong.
As a short 4-day event.
No comment.
So I know they're busy. So, you know, right. I'm hoping to get that Human Torch, though.
Yeah, I'm jonesing for the Human Torch as well, because when he came in and he was part of a reward, I think, for a boss event, and then they didn't do a PvP for him, or if they did, mine is woefully undercovered. Mine's 1-3-2, which sadly means he's probably not going to be strong enough for the shield training.
Yeah, well, my 0-1-3 is even a little worse, so.
Yeah, and I was holding on to CP for, you know, whatever might be pending in the works for a 5-star, but when they officially said that Human Torch was in there, I went and I dumped on my CP, which got me like 40 pulls, no bonuses, and it got me like one Human Torch cover. I got tons of good stuff, but I only got one extra Human Torch cover. That's how we went to up to 1-3-2. So I'm hoping I do okay at the end of the PvE here. I got one more cover. That should be enough to push him over the edge. Fingers crossed. I was like getting that shield training cover, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, true. But the problem with it is I really wanted him, but then that Captain America, you know, Hammer Cap came out. And yeah, he got my favorite as opposed to putting that on the Human Torch.
Right, and I had Cap favorited before they made the announcement, because I'm like, I like Hammer Cap. I want him to be stronger than Human Torch. But then, you know, Human Torch came up for the shield training. I think we found out on Monday. So I'm like, I got to, you know, change the course of the ship here. But not that my Hammer Cap is any good. He's 0-2-4. That big zero hurts.
I think I'm just going to give up on the shield training and focus on the next one.
There you go. There's still covers. There's
hanging
still,
up for now.
There's still battles to be won, and there's still covers to be had. You could get lucky.
True, true. But my Hammer Cap's already ahead of him. So, in any case.
All right. Let's kick off this week's round of the showdown by recapping last week's showdown.
Okay, we can do that.
Where Carl versus some Iron Man armor had a throwdown. How'd Baron Mordo fare against possibly Rhodey?
Right, right. Well, you know, I guess I'll save my comment to the end. Okay. So let's get to the listener comments. First, a showdown in an actual ring for once, which it was. The Diagon is a ring. So they said they gotta vote Mordo, although I do always feel slightly sorry for Rhodey in that secondhand armor having to pretend to be Tony. Yeah, that's fair. There was a question which Rhodey shows up in the Diagon, Cheadle or Howard? Maybe both? Doesn't matter. Respect the title. Baron Mordo wins. And Mordo can use magic to defeat the Rhodes handily. This fight is one of the most lopsided in the season 2 so far.
Ooh,
well, brutal. Wait for today's. So yeah, those are the major comments. And poor Rhodey, he got no votes, man. Nobody thinks that Rhodey could beat Mordo. However, they're correct. I mean, it was lopsided.
It's a goose egg for the Mark V Iron Man armor.
I know in the game, Mordo was kind of more so based on the way that he looked in the Doctor Strange movie. Oh, I just wish he had the hair and mustache and beard of comic books Baron Mordo as well. Because facial hair is always a plus. That's going to help you, you know, especially if you're a bad guy. Tony Stark, I think, is really the only good guy who can get away with facial hair all the time. The beard for Thor comes and goes. But if you have a facial hair in the Marvel universe, you're probably a baddie.
All right. Well, that was a solid win for Baron Mordo. Moving on.
Yeah.
Let's see who's going to be joining him in this week's fight. You're going to have to do some heavy lifting, Ray, because I feel like only one of these two characters needs some description. So unless you've got a sneaky Silver Samurai way of winning this, I'm going to rest on my laurels.
All right. Well, let me tell you who I got this week.
All right. Well, yes.
And then you can, then you can give it away. So this week I am representing Sentry 213, not Sentry from the MPQ. This is Sentry 213. It is a robot, a single robot developed by the Kree. Now they made thousands upon thousands of these robots, but only 213 was, well, he was the first one to be seen on Earth's system, and he was placed there as a surveillance robot in order to, you know, just monitor the system, and he ran into a group of internals, screwed up their ship, stranded some Kree on, or no, stranded the Eternals on Titan, a moon of Saturn. He caused a whole bunch of trouble, but he is a robot. Like, he is your straightforward, I'm a mechanical being, super resistant hull, completely immune to mental or emotional attacks, because he got none, immune to illusions. He can transmit and receive data to the Kree Empire at light speed, but they are in another galaxy, so light speed isn't all that fast between galaxies. He does auto repair. So just give me a little time and I can fix anything that happens. And I can lift right around 80 tons. So strength level pretty through the roof. Like really, really good. So there you go. Big, strong, solid robot. Who you got, Ian?
Let's see what I can whip up to handle this robot. Making his grand entrance into the... Oh, I forgot to make a shape. It's going to be a square this week. Sorry, everybody. Into the square, via the Bifrost Bridge, the one and only Odinson. Here comes Thor! Yeah! And I've won.
Yeah. Oh, it's over. Weird.
And you're done.
I will say this. Sentry, in some of the images that I see from his early looks, he's got like the purple like helmet thing around him with a blue face in the middle. So he reminds me very much of Kang. And if he wasn't taking on Thor, I would have picked him just because he kind of sort of looks like Kang. Picture.
I see it. Yeah, I mean, I feel like 81 tons is impressive, but I feel the God of Thunder has smushed many people mightier than 213 here. So... you know, I'll leave it up to the listeners as always, but, and there might be something I don't know about 213 that someone out there does, but I'm going to say in this particular arena, the might of Mjolnir will probably crush you.
I think 213 is a West Coast area code, maybe in the LA area. So I don't know if he's maybe like a rival of the West Coast Avengers. Maybe that's where he keyed in, you know, then he's taken on. You know, and I think, you know, not Thor, but Thunderstrike was a West Coast Avenger. So give me that as an alternate costume in the game. Give me Thunderstrike.
I like what Samurai said. Mighty Thor will give this Sentry tummy cramps, too. Good old Sentry's tummy cramps.
All right, so, well.
Grinch, I'm you here. Didn't have to include hashtag Team Ian. We know you're going to vote for Thor. Like, anyway.
Is there a reason not to include hashtag Team Ian, though?
So, hey, guys, before we move on, yes. Ian, I enjoy that you're playing a bunch in the anniversary. And listen, I like the anniversary, too. Nothing feels better than, like, wiping out that vault and having to reset it so you can, like, cash in other tokens and stuff.
Okay, but cool, I guess, but I like it.
So, Ray, I guess, overall, how's your experience been with the anniversary?
Pretty good. I don't know. I haven't really been keeping track of hardly anything. Like, I've just been spending CP as I get them. So, as far as the anniversary, what is it, the vault or the sixth anniversary? Yeah, it's a vault, right?
Yes.
I have collected over half of the items and two of the three fan favorites tokens. So, I've been spending enough.
Right. So, I guess where I'm kind of angling with this is, you know, some of the offers that we got, because it came out in between last week's show and this week's show, was the alternate Devil Dinosaur costume, the Dapper Dinosaur costume, right?
Yeah.
And that was one of the things. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to cash in to try to get some more covers for Human Torch, 4-star Human Torch, maybe I can get enough HP so I can get that costume. I thought that was really cool. But, you know, that's really the only thing that kind of, like, excited me for the anniversary this year. Like, it feels the same as last year, which is good. You know, listen, double ISO, the anniversary vault, you know, all these different, you know, shortened season helps. But I don't know, I was expecting a little bit more. I was expecting, like, I'd say the biggest disappointment I have from the anniversary is Spider-Ham wasn't included. He came out in 2018. He's a limited character, but he gets shunned aside, you know? We could have very easily swapped out one of the class of 2000-whatevers and threw Spider-Ham in there so I can get him. You know, I know some folks have been, like, hoping for a feeder, hoping for, you know, a lot of other stuff. I've kind of given up the ghost on ever getting level 10 shield clearance as an option in the thing. But I would have traded it all to get some more Spider-Ham covers.
Yeah, I don't feel that strongly for Spider-Ham, so I can't really say that.
That would just be nice. I like the variety that Joe is pitching. Is that Devil Dino costume still around, or did that window close when I was too busy playing other things?
It came up on a Monday, and I think it ends on Sunday.
Ooh, what's it cost me?
Let me pull it up here, because I cashed it out, and I think it blacks it out for me.
It's a 2750 hero points.
Yeah.
Oh, I have those. I want
that, and that'll get you 3 dino covers, the new incredibly dapper costume, and 3. I think those are heroic tokens. Yes.
Yeah. So that's a good deal, because it's a fun costume. I know I've mentioned it when I've been on the show before. It's from the Next Wave run by Warren Ellis and the Terry Funk of comic book artists, Stuart Immonen. one of my favorite Marvel books of the last several years. Machine Man, Elsa Bloodstone, Monica Rambeau. It's kind of like a bunch of Mort characters, and they have a lot of fun with it. You've probably seen, like, images and memes of it where they're fighting, like, an army of MODOKs that are dressed as Elvis and all sorts of crazy stuff like that. And that's where the Dapper Devil Dinosaur comes from, that story arc. So it usually cycles through on Comixology or, like, wherever you get your digital comic books. And I think you get, like, the entire 12-issue run when it goes on sale for, like, $5. And it's totally worth your time.
Sure.
Sure. All right. Yeah, I just like the costume.
You got four days.
Okay. I don't want FOP. I'm a Dapper Dino Man.
There you go.
That looks good.
I felt as though I had to derail the show a little bit.
That's fair.
Because Craig's not here.
Yeah. I would have never known. Or there's the MODOK Elvi appearing in Discord currently. That does look wacky. I like MODOK, so I can support that. And I like the derailment. But that did... I've got a further derailment that will take the show a little deeper into the evening, but not much. So, as you know, Joe, you are a master of Twitter.
Sure.
How is there a way to continue to follow you but not see anything that you retweet?
Yeah, turn off my retweets when you
That's a specific feature?
Yes. Like, if you click on the person, and let's just say, like, you're doing it from a desktop, let's say.
Okay.
Next, and I'll pull up on my phone as well, just to see if there's a slight difference with it. You pull up my profile, and next to the little button where it says that you're following me, there should be like a little like 3-dot option thing. And it pulls down a whole bunch of things, like you tweet to me, send me a direct message, you can mute me, you can block me, and then like maybe real down at the bottom, you could turn on or off my retweets.
Ooh,
and if you're doing it from a mobile device, those like 3 little dots, instead of being to the right of the follow button, are above the follow button. And they do the same thing. It's the same list of options there. It just turn off retweets is higher on the list.
Okay.
I do retweet a lot of stuff, especially on Tuesdays for Terry Tuesday, because I love Terry Funk.
Man, I do support that, and I do enjoy following you, but there is only so many wrestling-related tweets that I can look at in a given day.
Listen.
And One now, thumb swipe past you is all that I can handle.
You could even go as far as to mute specific things that I say. You can just, like, mute wrestling in general. You can mute, like...
I don't want to be totally ignorant of wrestling. I want to know, you know, a little bit about what's going on. I want to know, on a Monday, who, you know, what storylines were concluded at Sunday's pay-per-view. If you ever start tweeting about... that new wrestling that TBS invented, you know, I could always stand to learn. Just, boy, thousands, Joe.
There's a lot of wrestling. Of wrestling out there.
Tweets. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's because
I'm just delirious
I have...
with wrestling.
Yes,
I realize it's a big part of your life, and I that's exciting.
Did I hear
from an unreliable source that you're one of the announcers for All Elite Wrestling?
That is from a very unreliable source. I would say at least 3 of the 5 EVPs personally dislike me and probably have me blocked on Twitter. Even though I do have a lot of friends that work for All Elite Wrestling, unfortunately I was unable to get the time off of work, or I would have attempted to get some comp tickets for the Philly show next week, because $6 for the upper bowl at Temple University is a little too rich for my blood.
Ah, that's gold. All right, let's see what else we do on this show. I don't really remember. I
interrupted right before It's Always Sunny in Xandar.
Well, that's semi-retired, so let's ask Ray what's going on with the mail. Do we still have listeners? Do they still comment? Does Willie know anything?
We definitely do, and by semi-retired, it's pretty much fully retired.
Absolutely. it hasn't been replaced yet. So it's like an in memoriam segment.
Sure, right. And we made it through all the characters. So, you know, there's not much further to go. But yeah, the mailbag. Let's see, over on Reddit, NormanB616. This is a long
one. Never not
but
funny.
I enjoy it. I really enjoyed the tone of Ian's voice when he explained Yippee Yappee in Yahoo. It's the exact same tone of voice when he uses to explain the powers of a character that he has not understood and clearly has never played. The second point is several weeks late, but he legitimately laughed out loud when Ian said that the Beetle just donned a new suit of armor and started heroing as Mach 1. This happened in Thunderbolts number 1, a comic book published 22 years ago.
Oh, and don't spoil the secret ending of Thunderbolts number 1, a comic from 22 years ago, but it's one of my favorite comics of all time.
Nice.
A comic that cannot ever happen in 2019, ever.
He said, I now realize that these two points could be perceived as negative comments about Ian. They are not. Ian is a delightful human being and an excellent foil to Craig's attempts to slowly transform the podcast into a 45-minute show tune recital.
Thanks, I'll keep fighting the good fight.
D-Wing... in the wall of text, said that the Masked Singer analysis is his pie segment. I suddenly understand Joe's pain.
The pie segment is my Masked Singer segment. I get people are into it, you know, but I kind of checked out of reality TV. Oh boy, and like the second season of Survivor, and because I don't have, you know, cable coming into the house. I did get into RuPaul's Drag Race, like, for the first, like, 3 or 4 seasons, but then I had a kid, and, I don't know, that may not be appropriate to watch around children. A lot of severe language used by the queens on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
Still check it out, it's a fun show.
But The Masked Singer, I have to say that of all the reality shows that Craig watches... that is by far the okayest one to talk about. Like, at least it's interesting. At least it could be people that I could recognize, and it's an interesting premise. So, I'm of all the things, I'm okay with that one.
So. Ray, were you on the edge of your seat recently when Ninja from Twitch streaming was revealed to be one of the singers? You know, Ninja, your favorite?
Right.
And the only reason I know that comes up is because one of the sites that I go to for, like, comic book news, like, that filtered into video game news on the site. And I'm like, get this out of here. I don't want to know about no Masked Singer. I don't want to know about no Ninja. Get this away from me.
I just, when he originally said ninja, my response was, you mean from D'Antwoord? Really? And then they went...
What's the girl's name? Man, did you ever see Chappie as a side note?
Yeah, I've not seen that, but I is it good?
Yes, if you enjoy D'Antwoord, you'll enjoy Chappie because they're the good guys in the movie against evil heel in the movie, Hugh Jackman.
Wow, that's got to be hard to pull off.
It is, and they don't do it, but it's still an enjoyable movie. I recommend it.
All right, I'm going to push on. D-Wing continued to say, 15 million players? I now feel small and insignificant, as it should be. He assumed that Jim Brewer is no longer opening for Metallica. That is correct. However, it was mentioned several times. And Jim Brewer, by the way, good show.
Ooh, like, excellent.
Yeah, he's come around this area. Penn's Peak, maybe? If he already hasn't come, it's coming soon.
Yeah, Ray and I saw him here in Williamsport, and it was dynamite.
Just, I mean, I didn't expect him to be awful. I thought he would be funny, but it exceeded expectations. He was really good. So if you get a chance.
So many of the folks that you may have whatever opinion of based on their performances on Saturday Night Live or, you know, movies or the ill-fated Home Improvement spinoff of Dave Chappelle and Jim Brewer called Buddies, you know, give their stand-up a chance. Don't use all the other stuff that they've done to judge their entire career, you know?
Right. For sure.
I hear, what's-his-face, Rob Schneider is actually really good in stand-up.
I don't doubt that for a second.
Right, but, you know, you say Rob Schneider's stand-up and Ray's immediate response was what my immediate response was. Ugh.
Yeah,
but
right.
I have so many people, I have many friends that have gone to see him and they say that he's fantastic.
Yep, there are many things go in directions that I would not anticipate. If, again, and he says this in his stand-up, if you only know David Cross from Eminem commercials and Arrested Development, and go to see his stand-up, brace yourself. It's amazing and brutal.
Yes.
It is super duper raw. Yeah. Oh, Donkey Teeth says, Kenan Thompson, however. I don't know how you were subjected to this or if it's something we've discussed. Kenan is the worst stand-up comedian I've ever seen live.
Right, which is exactly the opposite.
Did you tell that story here on Profane Arguments or on both?
Probably both. It really scarred me. He was just bad.
There's exceptions to every rule.
Yeah, absolutely. But I that's why I don't doubt Rob Schneider. But you know, we all have access to the internet, so you can always just look at a clip of Rob Schneider's stand-up, so you have an idea of what to expect.
Right.
And I assume every stand-up has at least three specials on Netflix currently. So there's a lot out there to check out.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was going to say, while we're on this, terrible stand-up, you guessed it, Bob Saget.
Oh,
absolutely,
yeah,
the second worst stand-up special I've ever seen.
Now, see, that doesn't surprise me.
I thought he was going to be funny. I don't know. I thought like he would come out and try to be, but he came out. This is not the right show to talk about the negatives of his show because it was vulgar and it involved obvious drug use and. His only joke was talking about dicking his fingers in Kimmy Gibbler's third input.
Careful.
I said input. That's mostly G-rated.
Mostly. Bob Saget's stand-up really smacks of trying very hard to, right. like, really make you forget that he was Danny Tanner. I remember at the time when he first went out, this maybe it was like the early 2000s, and in all of his ads, like the promotional materials, it'd be current day Bob Saget, and then a picture from back in the Full House days with the Olsen twins, and it says, he makes the Olsen twins call him daddy, and that was like the whole pitch of the whole thing. Blah, whatever. The only good thing Bob Saget ever did was direct the hit film Dirty Work. Other than that,
That?
He was the director of that film, yes.
Good for him. That movie is excellent.
I think Samurai is ready to fight you. He said that saw him in Charlie Goodnight several years ago, and it was one of the best blue shows he's ever seen. So,
Stand up, not so good.
Yeah. So I'm going to push onward. Otherwise, we'll never get through this mailbag. D-Wing did say that if Craig stopped creating the gray sugar sludge at the bottom of his bowl of Rice Krispies, he would weep for his soul. You can begin weeping. Craig can't get that close to milk. He'll explode.
Yeah, it's true.
Synergy segment. He wanted to comment on Flapton, which I don't like that name. But in any case, I enjoyed the team because it focused on Sam and justified a Hawkbuster build of Red at 3. All right. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And more anti-robot propaganda from Craig. What a shocker. But I need to comment on this. Perandiak appeared again. I don't know if he caught up, but he got close. So he commented back on episode 208. He said he's been out of a job for 2 months and been applying everywhere, so lots of blah feelings, so I haven't been listening lately. So I hope the luck turns around. Hope it does better. I mean, you know, you caught up on the podcast, so maybe that'll do it. Change your luck. He said that we talked about Chris Jericho way back then, and he said that the belt was stolen while he was here in Tallahassee, Crazy Town.
So I don't want to derail things more. Stolen in quotes. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
There's a lot of suspect materials on there. Let's just say the Judas is in his mind, and he might have left the belt on the top of his limo and drove away, and it fell off, and someone found it at the side of the road. Stolen.
How you do?
Yeah, that happens.
Happens to the best of us, and it happens
classic
to Chris
Tallahassee.
Jericho. Yes.
Episode 209, his comment was, soon to be named network's new soundbite is amazing. I thought it was appropriate to relate that. So,
hey, shout out to David Gincannon, formerly of a bunch of shows that don't exist on the network anymore. But he's been working overtime doing a lot of stuff. He even made a custom one for one of the other shows that tried to imitate the vroom vroom noises. So he made a special one for them of them doing the vroom vroom noises for their show.
Nice. He did, I completely forgot when we were in the news segment, he did update us with some local news, and this one surprised me. Local news number one, Stormy Daniels, yes, that's Stormy Daniels, is apparently at odds with Barstool Sports, and she came to Champs last week on some sort of anti-masculinity party. I'm not sure what's going on with that since I haven't found a reliable update online. I did find an article, and sure enough, at the end of last month, Stormy Daniels was downtown here. And
she went from feuding with the president to feuding with the Barstool Sports guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lateral move in 2019, if there ever was one.
Local news number two, there's a new joint called BRGR. I guess it's Burger. Opened up on West College Ave. It looks pretty rad, and it does. If you get a chance to look at the menu, it's interesting. It looks very gentrified. I don't know. We'll have to check it out. Local news.
I hear what you're saying. I'm just like, doesn't a town have to be like divey before it can be gentrified? Yeah. I don't know how much can you super gentrify an already gentrified area by removing the vowels from a word? I hate that restaurant already.
Well, it's like, you know, when you live in a gated community and you want to double gentrify, you put up another gate.
Right. Exactly. Local news number three, Atherton Street is still under construction. It is, in fact, still under construction, but they're getting really close. Really, really close. They opened up another section today. It's nice to drive on. They only have one lane closed. It's going to be glorious, I'm telling you. He also said, I'm so happy that Craig went straight for the Goat Boy reference, even though it's as annoying as heck. that is true. Completely ballsy pick with the Sam Wilson team, but it's interesting. I am also not going to play it. And, yeah, I don't blame you, but gotta throw these out there.
And okay. Hey, so, if I could throw local news in my neck of the woods here in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area, we just had a new vegan restaurant open less than a mile from my house. It's the second offering. The gentleman had one in downtown Scranton. It was so successful. He opened up another one here very close to my house. My wife is vegan, so that helps her out. But more importantly for me, the first in our area up by the arena where they have, you know, the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Penguins play, Chick-fil-A is opening soon. So, you know, Politics aside, that's some delicious chicken.
Politics aside, that is some delicious chicken. That,
yes.
That is a true statement. It's Almond Doe 69 said that Cleveland gets an unfair rap. It's been great when I visited. Also, it's a setting for the best sitcom ever, The Drew Carey Show. Man, there's a lot of to unwrap there.
There really is.
Best sitcom ever. I get that you like
that
it.
That place
but...
gets a bad rap. I visited near there once.
And I watched a TV show that took place in a Hollywood soundstage that they told me was Cleveland 20 years ago. I think they filmed the opening in Cleveland.
I will say that Craig hates Cleveland just because of the Browns. Well, maybe not just because, but that's a major contributor.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about AFC North and Craig's manufactured rivalries.
Right. So the unfair rap statement, I'm not going to even argue with that. That's sure. Yeah. I've been in Cleveland way too much to like it, so... But I've been in fairly bad parts of Cleveland, too. So if you stick to the right spots, maybe it's an okay town. I don't know.
I've been in good spots in Cleveland. I've been in bad spots in Cleveland for my travels for wrestling. Sad as it is, I miss Cleveland, because I would... You know, that's one of the companies that I did wrestling for, AIW. They've been bringing in a lot of big guests. Like, they brought in Raven over the summer, and they're bringing in Kevin Nash over Black Friday weekend, and I'm soft retired from wrestling. But man, oh man, did I want to go and meet Raven and go and meet Kevin Nash.
Yeah, my reason for being in Cleveland all centered around, you know, heavy metal, rock bands, and nice. Their associated shows, so.
Did you ever see any shows at the Odeon?
Oh, I don't know.
That's in downtown Cleveland. I know bands do play there. There's some band that has like a standing like Sunday that they play there every Sunday. That's a relatively big name band, but I'm very out of touch with today's music.
Mm. Unfortunately,
or any music really.
Last comment. Storm of Fire answered about the questions about the Masked Singer. She said it left her with a whole bunch of questions. But Masked Singer was something she was not previously aware of. That they were in full-body costumes, and that those costumes contained hints toward their identities. Or that the costumes were their personalities for the time of the show. That the costumes are often very artistic, with themes, and most importantly, how can they sing in them?
Oh, they can't be. They have to be. They have to be. Again, this is just my theory. I don't know. I assume that, it is them singing, but it's got to be pre-recorded. Because they can't sound that good singing out of that costume.
The audio would be extremely difficult.
If it's on TV, it's not real. And that goes for most sporting events as well.
Right.
And I'll let Storm of Fire slide for bringing up the Masked Singer because it was her birthday recently.
Happy belated birthday?
Yes.
Nice.
I liked her the way she summed it up, though, at the very end. She had all these questions, and then she said, all of which can be boiled down to, why? Well, that's a good question. But because reality TV is a big thing and it gets a lot of money. And, you know, as I said, of all reality TV things, it's an interesting gimmick.
Yeah, I'd rather hear that than listen to Craig talk about The Bachelor. Oh. That hurts my heart.
Yeah, any day of the week. All right, so there we go. That was the mailbag. That only took the rest of the show.
Nice. All right, Joe, are you ready for this?
All right, are we going to try to sync this up? Let's see how this
is
going to go.
This is uncharted waters.
All right.
All right, everybody. I am Hans.
And I am Franz.
No, wait, I don't even know how to do this segment. I've never done it. Let me read this. Make sure. Is this what we do?
And we just
want... I don't know how to do this. Yeah, we just want to pump...
You up.
Nice.
No, not even close.
Whew. My hosting chops are at an all-time low.
I feel bad for whoever has to try to edit this mess.
I'm not editing that. That was gold.
All right.
That was gold. So anyway, Joe's going to do the boosted character segment.
I'll
see you guys in a little bit. I'm going to go try to remember to open Steam.
Okay. Right,
we're out of time, Joe. Keep it short.
All right. I'll be quick. So I like the fact that Mr. Fantastic is boosted because I like Mr. Fantastic. I like his current thing, but I really like the way he was before. He stinks as a solo. One of the worst Crash of the Titans to play both instances, this one and the previous one, and in a world where a super duper champed 4-star could barely squeak by a 3-star is a sad state of affairs. But I'll be intrigued to see how Jimmy Ramond does there, the new Human Torch. once I get some more covers on them, because there's nothing I love more than repeaters. But lots of people who are boosted this week with strong reds. Spider-Gwen Cherry Bomb, boom, boom, kills everybody. Riri with the remote-controlled gauntlets, boom, boom, that kills like two people at once. And then Cyclops, hey, listen, I like Cyclops. This suit, this outfit he wears gives me so many nostalgic values. Not only is he blowing you up with red, he's blowing you up with blue. What more could you ask for? But, I don't know, give Mr. Fantastic another whirl while he's boosted. He won't go down immediately.
True.
So that's it, you know. You said make it quick.
Sure.
Whoa, that was super fast. I loved it. I didn't even know what happened. You didn't even list the characters.
Yeah, I kind of gave everyone, like, you know, I mentioned them in the course of the talking about them. You know, I didn't, like, list them up front, you know? It was
right.
Part of the story I was telling here.
All right. Will you at least read the Samurai blurb?
Oh, Samurai suggests.
Yes, please.
4-star Human Torch and 3-star Blade. Blade makes a repeater, which helps Jimmy the Android's red deal more damage, might even steal some green depending on who you're facing. Every time Blade fires a power, little Jimmy will spawn a strike tile, which is going to help Blade's purple make bigger attack tiles. And Blade, 3-star Blade version, is also boosted this week. So hey, it's synergy. It's like poetry, so it rhymes.
Oh, listen to Joe now and believe him later. This was the best boosted character segment we have ever done.
You have to tell it, you have to make it like a story.
Yeah, and thanks most of all to Mystify.
Mystify.
All right, Ray, let's talk about the synergy segment.
All right.
Featuring Ray!
I'm glad you were keeping track, because I lost track of where we were, but I just bought myself enough time. So this week in the synergy segment, I'm switching back to some 3-star characters. This was a suggestion from another listener. When in 3-star land, this is just a possibility. If you're not in 4-star land, this can he says that this can be used in PvP if you're not facing your 4-star fights a lot. So in any case, what you want to do is you want to fire up 3-star Cyclops with Iron Fist, again 3-star, and Mystique. And the reason this stuck out to me was the Mystique. Not a whole lot of people using Mystique. I think she gets a kind of a bum rap. So what you do is you have Mystique use her blue to make purple and black. Iron Fist uses that purple to make even more black, and also uses his green to make some strike tiles. And then Cyclops, you use your yellow to make red. Red makes death, and you use black to make more death. So all three of these characters are generators, and they pretty much all generate that full blast for Cyclops, so you can quickly plow down your enemies with those energy beams. What are they called? His optic, whatever they're called. Optic blast. So, I mean, that's pretty much the deal. You got three generators, you channel them all into Cyclops' full blast, and just get rid of the enemies as fast as you can. So, pretty straightforward. I haven't tried it out yet, but it sounds like it could work. So, there you go. That's team up segment. Thanks, Unify.
Team up time.
I like Unify. That. I like all that black being generated. And Mystique is boosted this week, so you could even give that a whirl. Mystique, absolutely one of the most underrated 3-stars. If you can get her, you know, her blue, or what is it? Oh, what's going
Sorry.
On?
Sorry, Mystique is absolutely a character in this game.
No. Like I said, you get her power that makes all the black tiles, you get some good cascades right. going, you get the purple, you get Shapeshift and Masterstroke working together, and it's some of the most perfect synergy of powers working together. It makes me so happy when I get to pull it off, and I hate it so much when it gets done to me in that, what's the one node in the Daily Deadpool where you're stuck with, like, here's the three against here's the three in the Behemoth Burrito. It never fails. Right. Whenever I'm facing Mystique, she always pops off one of my characters by getting her two powers to go together. Never fails.
She is a good AI character.
Yes.
All right, let's move on and open a token.
Oh, okay.
Token opening. Yes, I'm ready. I'm in Steam. I remember the throat poke being effective. I'm going to try it again. It was effective again. It's a 5-star Professor X classic. Wow. Signal boost.
Ooh.
Good job.
Yep.
All right, I have one as well.
First one of those.
I am going to go for the jugular notch as well. That got me a 4-star. Don't push that button, Rocket and Groot.
Ooh.
Which is okay, because
right.
That gets him to level 320, which means I have another one, and I'm doing it.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as I get back there. I'm going for the eye poke this time. No, it didn't work. 4-star Emma Frost, girl's best friend. All right.
So I've got two. I'm going to give old $5 Chuck here the upward thrust, a.k.a. the cane punch, to see what I get. All right, for my first one, I get a Gamora incapacitate, but it's a bonus, which gives me another cover for Human Torch. Woohoo!
Nice.
His green power. What's the green one again? I don't know. Whatever his green one is.
Yeah.
I went by it too quick. Let me open up my other cover. One more cane punch. Huzzah! It's a green for Thing. Yancey Street Special.
Classic.
Does that bump anybody
Wildfire,
up some crazy
by the way,
levels? Because those are kind of high-end folks. Puts Gamora at 359.
Wow.
And puts Ben Grimm at 338. No cover is being spawned from that, but another cover for little Jimmy Hammond makes me happy. Puts him at 142. Still not near the 209 I need for shield training. But very we're getting nice. There.
Well, that was some good token opening. Thanks, as always, to this guy.
Thanks, this guy.
All right. I feel like this is normally where I tell you about the podcast network that we're on.
You're listening to the soon-to-be-named network, the Lamborghini of podcast networks.
Seeing as we have the creator of said network, Joe, could you tell us a little bit about the soon-to-be-named podcast network?
I can. It's a grouping of like-minded individuals, friends, compatriots, and their friends therein who decided to put all their podcasts in one basket in the hopes to kind of raise everyone else up. And there's a variety of podcasts, much like this podcast you're listening to right now, Marvel Puzzle Quest, the premier, I would say the Lamborghini of Match 3 games. Profane Arguments, solid. Which came out earlier today. My dumb shows that I do, Longbox Heroes, which is a comic book show, Longbox Heroes After Dark, which is kind of just like the messing around show. This week we talk more about Todd's adventures in New York. He was there for all 4 days of New York Comic Con. We have far too many wrestling shows. We have my wrestling show, At Odds with Wrestling. We have the Wednesday Night Wars comparing the NXT versus AEW Dynamite shows. And Final Wrestling Place, which takes an old thing from the world of professional wrestling and decides if it belongs in the good place or the bad place, inspired by the television show of one of those two names. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of TV. And you can find them all over at soontobenamednetwork.com, soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com.
Awesome. Thank you very much. All right. Anybody got any last things to get in?
I just want to mention that Samurai mentioned that we have the Lamborghini of podcast promoters on the show tonight, so...
Nice.
Yeah. I thought that was
got a lot of free, got a lot of premium stuff.
I've been talking into a microphone for far too long of my life.
Right. Am I correct, Joe, in believing that there is an archive of all the shows that have ever been on the podcast network available at the soontobenamednetwork.com?
Yeah, everything.
Or is that a myth?
Everything's tagged. You know, a lot of the shows that no longer are around, like sadly.
So the non-existent David Kincannon shows that you mentioned earlier can still be listened to at that website?
Yes. Podvocacy, Wrestling on the Edge of Forever, Everlasting Minute, which was one of those minute-by-minute shows where they went minute-by-minute through Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And anytime anybody shows up on like any other show, like if you do somebody else's podcast and you're part of the network and you let me know, you send me the link, you know, I'll put up there, you know. And it doesn't take a lot to get into the soon-to-be-named network. You need at least, like, two people to vouch for you. I remember back in the day when Jared's like, no, they have to submit something, and they're on a 3-month probationary basis. And Jared can say what's on the network or not when Prime Defective comes back. That's what I say.
I love it.
The worst-reviewed Star Trek podcast in the history of Star Trek podcasts.
Yeah.
It's up there, I would say. Almost certainly. All right, that's our show for this week. Thank you for listening, and for everybody who joined us live. If you want to hear our show, we're available on iTunes and Stitcher and Podomatic and various other RSS type feeds. Thanks for sending Ray all the comments, keeping Willie Lumpkin's mailbag full, giving us more to talk about on the show. If you want to get in touch with us, that's a great way to do it. You can join us here on Discord as well if you want to listen along live. Some other ways to support the show, if you buy stuff from cafepress.com/puzzlewarriors3, you can order some Halloween swag that's show themed. We have a Amazon banner. We have Patreon. So if you just want to give us money, that's cool too. I think that's about it. So goodbye for now. And remember, it's a mystery to us all.
Best clue
goodbye, friends.
Ever.
It's up there.
All right. Good night.